Your day. My scripture reading is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we'll start with the 15th verse. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering in to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words of blessing, and also letting us know that there are curses to be had. The choice is ours. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will help us to always make the best choice, the one that will give praise and glory and honor to you. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ones here this morning. Thank you for this blessed day that you've given to us, to come together to you, to recognize all of your creative works. Heavenly Father, to give thanks for all the things that you've done for us and you're going to do. And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask these things, and amen. My text is in the verse 19 of my scripture reading. And that verse says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. And this morning, my message to you is choices. Choices. And I'd like to say to the young people this morning that your life has already had choices, and it's about to have many, many more. And these choices are very important because they're going to determine the direction of your life. They're going to determine partially the outcome of your life. They're going to even affect the manner of life, the prosperity or lack of prosperity that you will have, both you and your family. And it depends on your choices and how you react to the Word of God. And in verse 20, it lets us know how we should react. And it uses the three expressions. By loving the Lord your God. Recognize God as being top priority in your life. Most important for the outcome of your life. Most important for the direction of your life. knowing that you should consult God about every choice, no matter how small, no matter how huge. God needs to be in the decision making. Isn't it interesting? As the God of this universe created all the things that we see and know, including us. And isn't it interesting that He still gave us the decision making? He did not take decision making away from us. He lets us know His will. He lets us know His ways. He lets us know the things to do and not do. But the rest is up to us. We react or we don't react. We decide to obey or we decide to rebel. We decide to go with God, or in essence, we decide to go without Him, with the world, with the majority. That's the choices. That's some of them. And it's going to determine, to a large extent, the kind of life that we have, both us and our loved ones, our family. First and primary importance in living this life is to recognize God. And by loving Him, you not only know and recognize that He exists, but you come to know that He has great love for you, that He wants you in His family. He literally wants each and every one of you as a son or a daughter. And He gave His only begotten Son on the cross to die that horrible death, shedding His blood so that the way to Him would be made. The choice of accepting Him, salvation, the rebirth, the new birth, the new person. And this is what you become when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and the loving Father God. One of the most important choices in anyone's life. Our very first commandment of the 10 commandments of our Father God is to love the Lord your God. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or a replacement of Him. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. All of those show our ways that we show our love for God and our recognition of Him. And that we put Him at the top of our list. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, on into the verse 20. And then, after loving Him, after obeying Him, then hold on. That's what it amounts to. Don't lose Him. Hold fast to Him by holding fast to Him. Those three things in the verse 20 of Deuteronomy 30 choices. We're going to have them all our life. From the earliest of our days until the very last breath that we take. These words that we're talking about in Deuteronomy is obviously to God's family. And we might ask, well, just who all does this include? Is it one seclusive group? Exclusive group? Well, for sure we can say that some would say these words are surely to the children of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And others would say, well, it's surely to the Jews. All through God's word, it speaks of the Jews and the importance of them as God's people, God's family. It surely could be said that it is speaking of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's getting specific. I like that. That lets me know exactly what God we're talking about. Because there's many pagan gods that's made up in the imaginations of men and nations. But there is only one true living God. No matter the numerous nations over this earth, and that is the one true living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah. Yahweh. This is the God we're speaking of. So we see that God's family, through the Old Testament and into the New, specifically starts out with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the call to them, but then goes on, and in both Old Testament and New, God's family is narrowed down specifically by other than just bloodline, you might say. And that is that God's family is literally those that recognize Him and respond to Him through faith in God. How important is faith? All important. Because it is how we recognize the one true living Creator God and His loving only begotten Son, Yeshua of Nazareth. Let's go to Galatians 3 and start at verse 26. Galatians 3 and verse 26. I want to narrow in on just who is now, if not always, the true family of God. For you are all sons of God, how? Through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now listen to this. Is the Jews important? Yes, they are. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants. Does it matter about the blood in this particular verse? No. If you belong to Christ, have you accepted Christ as the Messiah? As the only begotten Son of the Father? If you have, then this applies to you. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, as another translation would say. You are Abraham's seed if you accept Jesus Christ. Heirs according to promise. What promise? The promise that God gave to Abraham when he called Abraham out of his original country. Probably right around the Persian Gulf. Lower part of Iraq. Ur of the Chaldees. God called Abraham and said, come out and go to that promised land that I have for you. And so Abraham started on his journey. And this is the Abraham we're speaking of. Let's go down a little further. Okay, I believe I'm just going to stop right there. Let's go to Romans 3, Dave, and start at verse 27. Romans 3, 27. But you are as if you are a literal offspring of Abraham, an heir according to the same thing that any of his other children would be heir of. And certainly heir of the promise that the Father gave to Abraham when he called him. Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. Here we're speaking of works as being those that one would do, particularly people that would speak of the Jewish people thinking that they could work their way into heaven by being so perfect to the law of God that they could earn their salvation. But this says, what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we have maintained that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Of Gentiles? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since indeed God who will justify the circumcised by faith, and the uncircumcised, or generally Gentiles, the uncircumcised through faith is one, the one who will justify both circumcised and uncircumcised, Jew and Gentiles. It is the one God. Do we then nullify the law through faith? May it never be. On the contrary, we establish the law. We're not talking about belittling the law of God in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Making less important. No. These verses say, by faith, not by works of the law, are we saved. Now let's go to Romans 4 and verse 16. Romans 4 and verse 16. How to make the right choice. How to get ourselves and our life pointed in the right direction and keep it there. Romans 4
and verse 16. For this reason it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise, what promise? Main promise when it speaks of in the Bible, one of the top ones is that promise made by God to Abraham. That the promise will be guaranteed to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Do you see how we're getting that through faith we are saved? Through the same faith that Abraham had. Faith in God to believe what he says and act upon it. Let's go to back to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 9. Galatians 3 and verse 6, excuse me. Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. We're speaking of the family of God, the ones that are going to inherit the kingdom of God, the ones who are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on this earth. And the scripture lets us know that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed, and we might say accepted into God's family by faith in that same God that Abraham had faith in. Let's go to Genesis 26 and verse 4. I will multiply your descendants. This is God speaking to Abraham. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That's the original blessing of God to his family, to Abraham, when he called him to go to the Holy Land, to Canaan, to Jerusalem, to what become the area of Judah, the Jews. Let's go to Deuteronomy 14 and 2. This is God speaking to his people, to his family. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And I remind you, David reminds in the Sabbath lesson in the morning of when it uses that particular word, Lord, and has all of the letters in it capitalized. that it's speaking of Yahweh. The specific God, the one and only God. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. They were a blessed people. They were to receive blessings beyond description. And God makes this clear to them. If they would just do the things that God told them to do. Love him. Obey his voice. Stand fast. And don't stray. Those are the things that keeps us true to God and to his blessings. Those are the choices that's going to make the difference in the outcome of our lives. And particularly the young people. Decide today your God. Decide the sincerity that you're going to serve him. This is going to make a tremendous difference in your life. Let's go to Deuteronomy 26 and 19. You say, but we are so small in the world. But we are so insignificant. How can we be right about the things that we believe? About the things that we place importance on? How can we be right and the majority be wrong? And that he will set you high above all nations which he has made for praise, fame, and honor. And that you shall be a consecrated people to the Lord your God as he has spoken. Because you're in the majority? Because you believe so many of the things that other people place little importance on? Let's go to Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his love on you, and that's you sitting here in this church this morning, each and every one of you that hold God true and love him and obey him and hold fast to him. You, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. And this is speaking to the original Abraham's descendants. But it's speaking just as truly to each and every one of us this morning. Do you think all of a sudden from Abraham to us, you think we went from being the fewest of all people to the majority? You think we're in the majority now through that period of time? Thousands of years? Or you think we probably still in the fewest of the peoples of this earth? Isn't that something? God didn't recognize you and call you because you were the greatest, the most well-known, the highest looked upon by perhaps your fellow men. But he called originally because you were the fewest of all people. Not because you were the fewest, but though that was the ones that he chose. That's how he chose to do his work. We find that our choices can go in the category of being obedient to God. And you know what that's going to do if we're obedient to Him versus if we're disobedient to Him. What did it get Adam and Eve? The very first two people that had choices that they could make. And they did make the choice. And they did suffer the consequences, and all the rest of mankind after that suffered the choices, the consequences of the choice. Disobeying God led them to be expelled from His presence and from that beautiful garden where everything was no doubt perfect in every respect. But the choice led to the separation from God. The disobedience led to separation. It'll do that for you too. If you decide to go in the opposite direction of God, and that God's will for your life, then you're running in opposition to Him. And you will suffer the consequences. Disobedience to God will give you separation from Him. And not only from Him, from His promises to you, versus being true to Him and obeying Him. Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 7. Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. We want to know how to make good choices, the best choices. They mean life and death. They may mean prosperity or despair, the opposite of prosperity. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated. Do you feel like you have any enemies? Somebody don't like you? Somebody sort of goes out of their way to make your day? Just about everybody has somebody that don't like them too well for whatever reason. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and will flee before you seven ways. How is that? God will make it. You stay true to God and you be one of God's family, and His promises tells you your enemies are defeated before they ever do anything. They're defeated. And when they try to come against you one direction, they're going to be so happy to get away from you that they're going to go in seven different ways going away from you to lessen their pain is the assumption I would make. The Lord will command a blessing upon you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. We're learning how to make choices. And we're learning what the difference is in the choices, the decisions that we make, what it's going to lead to. So all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. Listen to this. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity. Do you believe God? I know everybody in here wants to be prosperous. I know you don't want any more of a load than you already have as far as a bad load. Well, how do you lighten the load? How do you become more prosperous by these choices. If God had it for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants, and He promised Abraham that all the nations or the children that respond to him, after him, his descendants, the ones that make their choice to accept Jesus Christ, they're going to be subject to the same promises that Abraham and the original people did. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beast and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in His season and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you will only be above and you will not be underneath. If you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully. Don't take God's word and His laws and His commandments, don't take them lightly. They will mean these promises. They'll mean the difference between prosperity and the opposite. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. Choice seems clear, doesn't it? The decision ought to be clear. We want to do God's will. We want to react to Him the way He would have us to react. That's some of the things that we get if we obey God. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. What happens if we decide to go the opposite way, not listen to God? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and go down to verse 45. So all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart. Are you going to serve God half-heartedly? Not that dedicatedly? Not that sincerely? I don't think you ought to. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things. Those things that He gives to you and blesses you with. Now let's go down to 58. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, Yahweh. There's that word again. Capital. L-O-R-D. And it can be expressed, as David said this morning, other than Yahweh. But it's that one Creator God. God of love, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic sicknesses. Do we want that? Of course not. How do we avoid it? Make the right decisions. And He will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. Let's go to 64 now. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you. Now, this is speaking of the children of Israel at that particular point, and of course they were scattered and have been scattered over this whole earth through the thousands of years from that point, and have only within the last 100 years, 50, 60 years, started being gathered back into the land, most notably. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you. Now this, of course, continuing on with if you don't obey the Lord, will scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. And there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. Among those nations you shall find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of the eyes, and despair of soul. So your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you will be in dread night and day, and shall have no assurance of your life. My goodness. And all because you would not keep the Lord your God as primary in your life and hold on to Him fast all of your days. In the morning you would say, would that it was evening. You wake up in the morning and you're so miserable, because that's what comes with not holding God's hand, not making Him most important in your life, and calling on Him to help guide your life. In the morning you'd say, "My, I wish it was already evening." And at evening you would say, "I wish that it was already morning again," because of the dread of your heart, which you dread. Fear. Dread. For the sight of your eyes, which you will see. Our decisions need to be on track for returning us to God. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30 and 1. Our choices need to be holding on to God's hand fast. So it shall be when all of these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind in all the nations where the Lord your God has banished you, and you return to the Lord your God, you strayed away, you've got the curses and the bad things, and now somehow you're coming to your senses and you're deciding, you know, that was the wrong way. I've got to get back on track, back to the Lord. And you return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and soul, according to all that I command you today, you and your sons. Then the Lord your God will restore you from captivity and have compassion on you, and will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are at the ends of the earth, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there He will bring you back. The Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it, and He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Let's skip down to verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise the heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. Let's go to verse 7. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you, and you shall again obey the Lord and observe all His commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord will, your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers. If you will obey the Lord your God and listen to these things, these are the choices. Know them so you can make the right one. If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. You can have it. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you life and prosperity, and death and adversity. Life or death. Prosperity or adversity. It's up to our choice. In closing, let's go to Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 9. So keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs and your tribes, your elders and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the alien who is within your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that he may establish you today as his people, his family, and that he may be your God, just as he spoke to you and just as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, not listen to this. Are there other ways that other people are included in this besides what we've already read? Listen to this expression. Now, not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath, but both with those who stand here with us today in the presence of the Lord, our God, and with those who are not with us here today. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. Moreover, you have seen their abominations and their idols of wood, stone, silver, and gold, which they had with them. You see the choices. The choices are given to his family. They can be blessings or they can be curses. Let's make sure that they are blessings. Let's make sure that those are the ones that lead us into prosperity and keep us there rather than adversity. I would like for everybody to stand at this time, and we want to repeat together the blessings that Yahweh said that we are to speak to each other. And they are given in Numbers 6 and 24. Let's say these together to each other. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face on you and give you peace. I think we all can use all of those blessings today. Let's pray.